So we have the great joy of having Hannah share and bring the word to us this morning. So as Hannah comes up, I'd like to pray for her, if that's okay with you, Hannah. So Leo had to stay home today because Kanese is sick. So the kids are being really well behaved. Good job, you guys. Father, bless the children, bless the teachers this morning. Jesus, may you be very real. And Holy Spirit, move amongst the children. And Holy Spirit, we just pray for Hannah as she brings the word this morning. Father, may she not rely on herself, but the Holy Spirit within her, because, Lord, you know, we know that you love to speak through us. And so bless Hannah as she shares, and bless our ears as we listen today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Judith. This could be a little tricky. thanks, Bob. Uncle Bob. Community. Thanks, Chloe and Ella. yes, so good morning. Yes, it is a good morning. And the snow has started. So if you need to run away, I understand. It's too late. It already started. Did anyone get their winter tires not changed? Tomorrow. That's good. We just went to Barhaven yesterday to pick up my winter tires, but they're not mounted or anything, so woo. Hopefully everything's okay tomorrow. It's not going to stay, right, Barb? It's going to melt. 20 centimeters. It's nothing. In 6 months? Oh, who's enjoying the darkness? Why do we live here? Who loves winter? There's somebody. I know. Sarah, yes. Christina, Monica, Tara, there's a few people that love it. Okay, the rest. Christmas. Yeah, I've lived in Australia during Christmas, and it really was not very great. It was weird. No snow is just weird for no Christmas. So at least for those, yeah, 2 weeks. That's right, Vlad. Maybe we have, you know, that's nice, but other than that, no, it's not great. Yes, so it is snowing currently, so just wanted to let you guys know. yeah, it's really coming down. so I felt this week, so I just spoke a couple weeks ago, so I was processing and praying a bit this week, but actually I was at Camp Iowa for 3 days with a few of us from here. We were at a pastor's prayer summit, and we were leading worship there, and it was an amazing time, really powerful time of unity. There was parachurches and different ministries and pastors all together just coming. The theme of the week was becoming a house of prayer, and what that could look like if the whole of Ottawa together became a house of prayer, not just individual churches, but like, how does this work? So the theme of unity was very much on their minds as well, and it was really beautiful to see the pastors. It takes some humility to do that, to, you know, to come together and lay down our own agendas and our own thoughts and whatever, and to just say Jesus is Lord together. And so that was really beautiful. I really loved that. And something that sort of came to mind, I was talking with one of the pastors. Actually, at the last morning, there was a few pastors that were all talking together, and one of them turned and asked me, "So do you lead worship like that every Sunday?" And I said, like, what? I was a little confused, like, what do you mean? And he goes, you know, and then another pastor helped him. Extended, you know, like, yeah, like, and I was like, do you not? Anyways, I was laughing. But no, it was funny. And then one of the guys said, you know, I would do worship like that, you know, maybe in a small group or at my home, but I would never lead worship like that on a Sunday morning at church. And I said, why not? and then another pastor jumped in and said, oh, I think because no one would know what to do. We wouldn't know how. And so then I said, maybe we should be teaching people how to participate. And that was the word that really stuck. And it's here. You can't see it because it's maybe. Who can see this word? Someone read? Few people can read it. Great. So this says participation. Because that word, like, well, we've been talking about community and how it's really active, right, and involved. And I was just processing this conversation and how it is not a common thing in the West to, as like we've talking about, like a village is not, it's not normal, you know, here. You know, we've been talking about this. Community is not normal. It's pretty isolated. People have their own lives, their own things. And participation in worship, I was just thinking, how does that sort of fit in? Because it does fit in. And I had a conversation with a guy next to me on the other side, and he is an amazing man. He's from the UK and Australia. And so he was in Australia for 13 years. And we had a good conversation because he shared something that was so, like, bam, it just hit a light bulb in my mind. He goes, you know, in Australia, it's actually, worship is such a valuable and integral part of the service. Probably, you know, Hillsong Australia started, like, it was a huge worship movement, right? And so most Australian churches don't treat worship as like a prequel. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's actually integral and it's part of it and very participatory. And he was saying something I've noticed here in Canada and possibly the U.S. is that it's very word-focused. Like, people are looking for churches for the word, and the worship doesn't really matter. So people show up late for worship, or they don't really necessarily engage. They're just consumers. So that's what he said. He said, word is important, but when it becomes the forefront focus and only focus, it creates a consumeristic church. And I was talking with Chloe, and she's doing a program, a course, that's talking about how we can go from being consumers to producers. And so I put that under here, active and producing. How can we become producing? And I was just still connecting these dots of, if we don't value worship as part of our experience together as a corporate body, because we often will say, get in your prayer closet, you know, the secret place. Those things are important, but congregational worship is actually so integral to our faith, is a response. Yes. Yeah, because you can come and sit and enjoy the word, and all you do is receive, receive, and then you go home. You didn't participate. Worship is actually the part of the service that we actually get to participate and respond. And if we have this consumer thought process, we just sit there and let the worship team do it for us. Like, we don't actually have to engage. We just sing a few songs and that's it. But there's nothing required of us. Again, I think it's pretty amazing that this church has a very high value in worship, and I love that. Like, worship is an integral part of the service. So I'm not talking to, I'm talking to the choir, you know. But I, yeah, the choir. But I've just been processing this, like, this participation, and this word just keeps coming to mind this week. Participation. And how important that is, and how worship is actually such a vital place in our time together in corporate worship, because that's when we can respond to the Lord and also respond to one another, and how we can start operating in our gifts and actually engage. And you know how I've been talking about too, Sunday morning is not it. Like, that can't be it. That can't be our experience with, that's it. That can't be it. If it is it, that's a problem. And he needs to grow. But if our worship service, if our Sunday morning service can't look engaging and participatory, then your life probably is not either. So that's why it's all connected, right? Like, if we're coming and engaging on a Sunday morning, then there's hope that we're engaging during the week too, which is good. But participation is it's everywhere. And actually, I wrote this on Friday night at our young adults. We had an hour of prayer and with the Lord, like individual prayer, but we were all together in the same room. And this word kept coming to mind, this participation. And I drew this little graph thing. I don't even know what it is, but I was like, wow. And I just started coming up with things of, like, what are things that we participate in our walk with the Lord? So here I had the word. We have to participate in the word. So you can't just hear the word and that's it. You go home. But you have to study the word. That takes work. That takes participation. You have to chew the word. Yes. So hearing it alone is not going to do anything for you. Like Graham said last week, you'll forget it the next day. Like, it's almost instantaneous. It comes in one ear and goes out the other. But something that I heard once a long time ago, it was very, very profound and it stuck with me, is once you've heard something, you need to share it right away. Because once you share it, it actually goes deeper. So I've found when I'm preparing for a teaching, I learn so much more than if I just listened to something. So almost like whatever you are learning and taking in, you need to, maybe if you are not actually going to preach a sermon, pretend you're going to preach a sermon and see if you can share it the next day with someone. Call up someone. This is like so powerful. And why when we hear lectures upon lectures all day long, and you know university students do as well, they're constantly intaking information. And what do they do with that information? They have to study, and they have to be able to do a test. They have to be able to do things, maybe do a presentation. But we get off easy at church. We just listen and we go home and that's it. And then we forget and we don't do anything with it. That's not good. Well, it's good, but it's not good. Yes, we need to participate in the word. We can't expect the preacher to do it all, because then you won't grow, you won't learn. So participate in the word. That's not just the word being preached, but the word itself, the word of God. We need to participate in that. So not just reading it is good, but like really that studying that. Like what I did is I got the word participation. And we already talked about this actually a couple months ago. Here's the word. So we did learn this word. Does anyone remember this word? Koinonia. Yeah, we've probably heard this before, but it's a Greek word. It means partnership, contributory help, participation, sharing in common, communion, and a fellowship in the Spirit. So you see this word translated often as fellowship. But I really am liking this participation vibe here. And I pulled out, I may have used ChatGPT to help me out. But I pulled out some spheres within participation. I'm really struggling. So there's things that we have to participate in as a whole. And I just talked about this. The word, we've got the word, we've got worship. We need to participate in worship. If it's just the worship team singing and everyone's just kind of standing there, la, la, la. I love this morning, there was prayers, there was the word was spoken, like the scripture was spoken. There was flags, there was hands raised, you know, there was participation. So good job, guys. I've got participating in community. So what could that look like? We've talked many, many times about this. Service. Actually, I spoke 2 weeks ago about serving, and last week two or three people came up and said, how can we serve? How can we help? And I was like, yes, that's good. Something is happening. It's working. Yes, so we're going to get these guys plugged into Sunday school and different areas. But if you're not serving, I still challenge you, find a way to serve. Because that you don't serve, if you don't serve, you don't grow. So community, how can you serve? Praying for people. That's a classic. You know, if someone needs prayer, pray. You know, Naveen and Nathaniel are moving. So last week, we had a few people go to their house and help them physically move. That's participating, right? You're using your hands and feet to be the feet of God. Last week, I was gone for a few days. Barb and Bob so graciously visited Leo as he's alone with the children, brought them food. Isn't that amazing? That is community. That is participating. And actually, Barb said they made 3 shepherd's pies and brought to different families. And that is incredible. I just wanted to give a shout out to you guys. That was a good shepherd pie, too. I had some leftovers. Noka's clapping. Yeah, because he ate that and it was yummy. Good job, Noka. Participating in, ministry. Okay, so actually, here, let's go to these 5. So I've got 5 spheres. Can you read this? It says in the top, sphere of participation. Then we've got the core idea, then representative verses, Greek term used, and what it expresses. So there's a few different derivatives. I was looking up derivatives of koinonia, and I kind of was just like, where is this? Where is this in the word? Where? How many times? Because it's interesting. I think Greek is so interesting. And it's helpful to study and learn and participate in the scripture. So there are a few different derivatives, nouns, verbs, and adjectives. So koinonia is a noun, and it's actually used 19 to 20 times in the New Testament. Koinonos is a noun, and that actually means a partner or sharer. So it's actually talking about someone who is a koinonia, like it's that becomes a person. We are a partner, a participant, and a sharer. So that's 10 times. Koinoneo is 8 times, and it's a verb. So that's actually participating. And then there's another one that's a verb, that's 3 times, and then another one that's an adjective, it's once, and then a noun, another noun, a derivative is 4 times. So these are all throughout Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians, Philemon, Hebrews, 1st Peter, 2nd Peter, and 1st John. So almost every New Testament book has this word, this idea, because it is so central to our faith, this participating aspect of our faith. It is life together and life with the Lord. So the sphere is here. We've got Trinitarian and spiritual sphere of participating. So it's not just participating in fellowship, but there's actually, in community, but there's that participating, like I talked about, the word and worship with the Lord himself. So fellowship with God, participation in divine life through Christ and the Spirit. And this, all of these participation spheres lead to transformation. Without participation, there is no transformation. So that's important. So let's read a couple of these verses. Obviously, there's 5 spheres, so that's a lot of verses. So maybe we won't read them all. But I'm going to read maybe 3 from each thing. And I'm going to translate the word that they use, koinonia, and I'll just put participate because sometimes they have different words. But this word participate is just really hitting me this week, so I'm going to use that in the context. So 1 Corinthians 1, 9. So if you can go there if you have your own Bible. Okay, so this is our participating in the Trinitarian, in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is that. So here it says in whichever version you use, it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the participation or the koinonia of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So good. Then we are going to go to, let's do 2 Peter 1, 4. Okay, this is a good one. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Wow. Having escaped corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So you're participating in the divine nature, which that encourages and enables and empowers transformation, because you're no longer participating in the flesh, but you're actually participating in the divine nature. So that's one of our mandates, is to do that. Powerful. So then 1 John, we'll just do a 1 John because I like 1 John. 1 John 1, 3. We proclaim to you, oh, this is a double one. So we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have participation with us, the body, and our participation is also with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And there's also one in there, I don't remember which one, but it talks about participating in the Holy Spirit. So then you go here, what it expresses. So the core idea is fellowship with God, participation in divine nature through Christ and the Spirit. Believers participate in the life of the Father, Son, and Spirit, a divine human connection. So a similar thing. So that's what, yeah, we're called to participate with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Isn't that incredible? We get to participate. What does that look like? Wow. Right? Let's participate with the Father, Son, and the Spirit. And that gives us certain access too, like it gives us access and ability, responsibility, like that word to just shift your mind to think, this is participatory, my relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. You know that so often we're so passive in our faith, but this is so active. We participate with the Trinity himself. Now we've got relational and ecclesial. That's the next sphere. So this is fellowship among believers, participation in the body of life, which we've been talking about for weeks. And the word there is mostly koinonia. And it expresses unity, friendship, and partnership formed by shared faith and mission. So I'll read a couple of those. So We've already Acts 2. Okay. Who wants to read Acts 2:42 and then switch that word to participate? Lisa. Do you want to read? I'll get it for you. That's okay. This is participation. Acts 2. I'm going to get everyone to participate now. Acts 2:42. And there's a word there. So this word fellowship, you can translate to participation.
Okay. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, participation, to the breaking of bread and to prayer.
Nice. Thank you. That's a good one. Thank you. Diane, maybe you're next. Galatians 2:9. And so when that word fellowship or whatever word pops up, it's koinonia, so you can change it to participation.
And when James and John, and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given them, they gave the right hand of participation to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised.
Wow, so that's a participation of mission. It's actually going out to bring in the body. So that's pretty cool. Maybe Philippians 1:5. Graham, you got that one? Oh, Amplify is good. Philippians 1:5.
I thank my God for your fellowship, your sympathetic cooperation and contributions and partnership. Participation.
Yeah.
In advancing the good news, the gospel, from the first day you heard it until now.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, it's in there twice. Fellowship, partnership, participation. So it's active. Yes. Yeah, the shared mission. So that's like it's telling us to go. We have to spread the gospel and participate in that. Okay, so that's, there we go. Okay, so those all kind of are connected as well, but missional ministry partnership. So this is what we just read. Actually, Philippians 1:5 kind of was applicable to both, but joint participation in gospel work and service. So you know how we often think, oh, those evangelists, they've got it. They can carry it. Well, that's not true. We are all called to be evangelists in participating in the gospel work and service. So this is expressed by co-laboring and financial participation to advance the gospel. Wow. This is very participatory. There's no excuse to not be participating in advancing the gospel. That's something that we have to do all together. It's important and it's pivotal. And what are all those words? It's important. So we have to participate, integral. We have to participate in advancing the gospel. That is an active and producing word. You know, disciple, discipling. We can't just stop by becoming a disciple. We have to then begin to disciple others. We have to advance the gospel. That is a participatory word, and it's all throughout the gospels. You know, we can't let that one go to the person next door. Oh, he's better gifted at speaking in public, or oh, he's better gifted. He's more, you know, extroverted. Extroverted and introverted. I hate those words. So it doesn't matter. We are to participate in advancing the gospel, which is pretty cool. So there is a ministry outreach missional partnership participation. That is a sphere. Okay, the next one we've got is material and generous sharing. This one is through meeting. It's very practical. It's through the meeting the needs of our people and also the poor and needy. So that's another one is poor and needy. It's connected with this one and this one. There's lots of ones that kind of, you know, they all sort of overlap. But we are to participate in sharing and giving and meeting needs. And it's expressed tangible sharing of goods, generosity as practical fellowship. So there is, I think it's in this one. They had everything in common. Oh yeah, here. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus, sold a field that belonged to him and bought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So it's this, there's it's not going to be, oh, that need will get provided for by that guy beside me. We are the hands and feet. So if you have an ability, which we all do in some way, shape, or form, do it. Do something. You know, we can have so many excuses of why we don't need to participate. But there's really no excuses. If you look at Jesus and how he participated to the very end, he participated in his own death. Right? He participated. His body was doing the dying. He participated in the fullness to bring to fruition our salvation. And so when we look at it like that, we have no excuse, even if it means unto death, to bring people to the Lord or to bring healing to our neighbor, to our brothers and sisters. We have so many excuses like, oh, I'm tired, or blah, 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 blah. And there are, you know, hard things that we go through, but that's what we've been talking about, is that's why we share burdens, so that they're lighter and that we can then enable, like, if someone's carrying our burden, then our burden is lighter to carry someone else's burden. You know, and it all kind of all goes together. But not only that, the Lord carries us. You know, there's this amazing, beautiful scripture in Isaiah 46. Oh, it is. Okay, so here we go. The idols. It's talking about idols and then the one true God. Bel bows down, Nebo stoops. Their idols are on beasts and livestock. These things you carry are borne as burdens on weary beasts. They stoop, they bow down together, they cannot save the burden, but themselves go into captivity. So this is talking about the gods that these people are worshiping. They're actually having to carry them, and it's making them more weighty in their suffering, and they cannot carry the burden. They're thinking they're going to be saved by these idols, but end up bearing the burden of these idols. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb. Even to your old age I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and will save. Wow. So even the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Jesus carries, he bears, he participates. So we can too. And sometimes that's when we think, like, I can't hold anyone else's burdens. But when we give them back to the Lord to carry, like he does, then things become lighter. You know, the yoke is easy, the burden is light. There's that image from the ancient world, like it was when the oxen would be carrying the yoke, and there was a little oxen beside him carrying it with him. I don't know if, has anyone heard this picture? That's what this is. So Jesus is like that big ox. He's carrying the full weight of the load, but the little ox is helping out. And he's got a burden, but it's light. But he's being trained. And that's such a picture, like his yoke is easy, his burden is light. He is carrying the load and we're helping him out, you know, just as a little guy. But that's participating. That little ox is participating. That's how he's growing. That's how he's learning. That's how he's able to carry heavier burdens, is because he's actually participating in the work, but Jesus is carrying the weight. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So we got to share. We got to be generous and practice and participate in generosity and sharing of goods and meeting needs. Our fifth one is suffering identification with Christ. This is a hard one. Participating in Christ's sufferings and the hardships of others. It's not very comfortable sounding, is it? No, that's for sure. Let's read a couple of these. Here we go, Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. Woo! Woo-hoo-hoo! Amen, amen. And participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Ooh, it's not as exciting. So this is participation. We participate in the power of his resurrection and in his suffering. 2 Corinthians 1:7. I hear pages flipping. Nice. Okay. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you participate in our sufferings, so also you participate in our comfort. So that's not just participating in the Lord's suffering, but in each other's. It's talking about the Corinthians participating in the suffering of Paul and his brethren in the prison. So there is a participating with our brothers and sisters in our sufferings together. And you know this, we know this, you know, weep when they weep, rejoice when they rejoice. Like, it is a huge, it's a mandate to do that for us, to participate in each other's sufferings. And we suffer, don't we? But we can get navel-gazing so much to the point where we don't see anyone else's suffering, and it becomes so isolating. And then you miss out on the healing and lighter weight. Oh, did I say first? I meant second, sorry. 2 Corinthians 1:7. Hebrews 10:33, yes, thank you. Do you want to read that one, Judith?
Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. Did you want 34 as well? You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions.
Wow. I'm trying to think. No, it is there, but there's a word there somewhere, is koinonia. I'm trying to figure out which one it is. Participation, yeah. Oh, is that the word? Is that it? Oh, yes. Let me go to my Greek. It's got to be in there somewhere. I'm sorry, guys. Partners. Oh, yes. I'm in the wrong version. That's why it's not working. Oh, yeah, partners. Yeah, you're right. Oh, that's that noun. It's the sharer, the partner, participator. Yes, so it's that word koinonoi, so that's the, yes, sharers, yes. Oh, okay, so the NIV actually just says it just differently. They don't even use that word. They say, at other times you just stood, so they pictured it, side by side with those who were so treated. Wow, yeah, and so when you see that image of standing side by side, you're not side by side just watching. I'm sure that usually, that would be the picture of you're actually experiencing the same thing that they're experiencing. Wow. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were treated. So it wasn't your fault necessarily, but you're there anyways, being treated the same way to carry that burden with your brother. And then when you think about it, if you're all alone and you're being publicly exposed to insult and persecution, like, how does it feel? Like, imagine yourself, how does it feel to have someone come beside you and step in and take some of that weight of that? Wow. It is huge. So if you can be that for someone else, if you can imagine yourself in that place, and then how that would make that person feel if you step in and you do that, even though it's painful for us, right? But it's that sacrifice, laying down our lives for our brethren, for our brothers and sisters. That's not easy stuff. That is participatory stuff. Whew. 1 Peter 4:13. Wow, this is another one of Christ. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. That is a hard one. We talk about this a lot, but how do we actually rejoice in suffering? Woo! That's a journey. But we participate in the sufferings of Christ. There's a book study that we're doing with the young ladies, and the book is called Unto Death, Martyrdom and Missions. And it's a tough book. It's going into the theology of martyrdom, but something that I think is really powerful, it doesn't say like martyrdom is the end goal, like just where, you know, we're all worshiping death. It's actually living unto death, so that life lived in sacrifice, that life lived in laying our lives down during life, not that last final moment. We often think, what would happen if I did that, if that actually happened to me? But it's every moment as we choose him over ourselves, as we choose our neighbor over ourselves. It's just this living in that state of mind. I have the excerpt from here, but anyways, there's some really powerful phrases in that in that book that's very challenging, because we so love our comfort, and we've really been talking about this. And it's not comfortable to be in community. And we talked about the benefits a couple weeks ago, but then the cost kept coming up, because there is a cost. There is a weight to this laying our life down. But then, is the joy set before us more valuable than our joys right now in this moment? You know, there is eternal joy, and then there's the temporary joy that we often have our eyes on. Our eyes are here. But there's this eternal joy that's set before us, and that actually enables us to choose death in those moments. You know, when Jesus lived a whole 33 years knowing what it was coming to, he continued to make choices every moment to bring him to that place. So it wasn't that moment in 33 when he made that choice. It was actually for 33 years he made that choice. And that is crazy stuff. Oh, yeah. Making the choice to actually come down. Yes. To leave the glorious throne. Yes, to come down. He was making choices every moment. And it was because of the joy set before him. And if we can lock our eyes on that joy, we can withstand so much more. And then we can begin to actually be participants in the gospel and in community. And then we will become performing, like we talked about a couple weeks ago. What was it? Forming, storming, norming, performing. Yeah. We got to get to that performing stage, and if we don't go through that storming, then we never get there. So we got to storm, and we got to suffer for the sake of the gospel. So those are those five participating spheres. What are you guys thinking? Let's have some participating. Yes, Christine.
I just wanted to share that there's such a strong nugget of what you're saying that connects so much with what I felt God has been saying to me this morning. I woke up with this dream, and basically the essence of it is the importance of connecting. And it just really, he's speaking so loudly about that. I just wanted to share that. That's so important. Thank you for sharing about it.
Thanks, Christine.
That's good.
Yes.
In talking about this community and participation, I just want to give a praise report on how good God is. We were in Costa Rica to finish up our dental work, and the first night we arrived at the hotel, we went into the dining hall, and there was just one other couple there. And so they said hello, and we started talking to them. And it turned out that they were Christians. They were from Alberta, and they had sold all their house and worldly goods and moved to Costa Rica because their son and daughter-in-law and granddaughter had moved there 6 months ago, so they were kind of going to support them. And so we spent the whole evening with them, and they said that they had been in Ottawa for the day of prayer, and so they asked us if we would pray for their son and, you know, shared their whole story and everything. And so the next day they invited us over for dinner, and we met their son and all that. And so Mark said to them, you know, they were talking about their church, and they were sorry to leave their church. So Mark asked where they were from and what church they went to. Well, it turns out they were from Edmonton. So we got the name of a great church in Edmonton for Naveen and Nathaniel. And so Mark was talking and said we had these friends from church that were moving there. And it turns out that this guy has worked 30 years in construction and has all sorts of contacts and has offered to help Nathaniel look for work there.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I just give God all the glory for bringing us to these people and providing community.
Yes, amen. That's so good. Amen. Who else? Oh, yes, Vlad.
That goes along with accountability, right? Can I ask you to hold me accountable? Are we willing and brave enough to ask for accountability? And, you know, just maybe, I don't know if I should share this, but with family, right? We have a church family, we have our immediate family, and the experience to help and go home, help and go home, help and go home. When the diaper is full, go home. You know what I mean? Like in a sense that you don't want to get burnt out. And sometimes when we spend, and I'm just talking about our immediate family, we love one another dearly. We have some differences, of course, but if you spend too much time under one roof, you know, sometimes you really need a break. You know what I mean? Like, it's good to go to the circus, and we have a front row entertainment every day with the kids. But then you need to go into your refuge, a little refuge,
and we're doing it willingly.
And we love it. But I'm just saying there is a limit. We need to know when enough is enough. You need to go home and rest or something.
That's a good, powerful point. I mean, Jesus did, right? Jesus went away and prayed to recharge, and there has to be that place where we feel confident to recharge and to go in to the Word and the secret place to fuel our ability to keep going.
I just wanted to double share because I chickened out on the first part. And I feel like, okay, that vulnerable side. The dream was my mom, and she passed away a couple of years ago. And I just really wanted time with her. And I was like, what is it I really needed? What did I need? What did I need to talk to her about? And I realized it was a hug. And I realized when I see God at the end of everything, He's going to be like, so what did you do with the people that I gave you? And it just imparted on me the importance of that connection.
That's good. Yes, Josh.
Some people are scared to do something because they're worried that they might get persecuted for it. But it says, and they agreed with him, and they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ.
That's good, Josh. That's good. Wow, the rejoicing. That's so good. That's good. Yes, Diane.
Thank you for sharing. I just wanted to say that this very morning, I was struggling with something, and it was very personal, but I asked Judith to pray with me, and so that's an example, a tangible participation example that we can do and that we have available here and now.
Yes, Gloria.
Yeah, so I had a real life example of this past weekend. We opened up our home to really people who I don't know very well. They were coming, they're moving to the area, and they needed a place to land for the weekend. So we said, sure, they come stay with us. And of course, then you practice hospitality, which is, you know, it's not super demanding, but it's a little bit demanding. And it's in the midst of, oh, the snow's coming, better get those gardens cleaned up. We were away in England for a while, and so a few weeks where I would have done all that, I didn't get it done. And now it's like, okay, now we're down to the wire. And we got to get it done. And so I was praying yesterday morning, Lord, there's a lot to do today. Could you please send me help? And, you know, I've prayed that prayer many times, and I don't always feel like I get that help. But this was kind of like, it's urgent, and my husband's trying to do a building project, which also is kind of related to winter coming. And this couple, they came to look for a house. Okay, I'm going to put this out here. If anybody knows a house that can house a couple from Alberta, they're looking to buy a house, and they have four kids, and they are looking in Canada. Anyways, set aside. They woke up in the morning, as I'm praying, they wake up, and they hear the Holy Spirit say, just help the people here. You're here. I want you to help the people here. So this is the true koinonia. This is the real deal. So, and it's, you know, you give, and then the next thing you know, you're receiving. and they worked alongside of Jim and I all day long. And then they said, we want to make you supper. And I was still outside in the dark, finishing up the very last things while they were making me supper. And then I still had time to have a shower at the end of it all. And then there was a beautiful supper made for me. So, yes, this is, you know, you give and you don't know how it'll come back. I had no idea. Like, I never anticipated that they would stop their house hunt so that the Holy Spirit would tell them to be, what's the word, to participate in the work of the house where we were at. So, anyways, that was pretty cool.
That's so good. Vlad, what double sharing. So, Christine.
Exercise is important too, right? But one more important thing I believe came to mind is, you know, gossip, rumors. Sometimes we talk about one another, and I believe it's important from what heart are we, where is our heart when we talk about each other? I'll give you an example. If you see me struggling with something, like, I don't know, maybe causing havoc somewhere, you know what I mean? And I need help, talk about me. You have my permission to talk about me. You know what I mean? Not everything is gossip when we talk about each other. If it's from a heart, helping heart, please talk about me.
That's really good. That is really good. Yeah, because sometimes when we're struggling, right, we are afraid and someone else can see it and spread the word, actually. That is really, really good. And we as a church need to know the needs. So if you know a need, share the need. That's really important, Vlad. That's good.
Yeah, we have a really powerful and effective prayer team email. So info@WOCC with your prayer requests. It is incredible, the answers to prayer that we get on that team.
Well, that's a good segue, because during the service, Roland sent me a text. And Tim, who is online, I think, is actually in Sudbury. Those on the prayer team already know this because we did pass it around. He's there because his brother's dying, and he's asking us to pray. He's going to be driving back tonight unless he finds somewhere to stay, hospitality. He can't afford a motel. So, dear Tim, brother here, many of us know him. Tim, if you're listening, Father, we pray for the wisdom in Tim to speak life to his brother, eternal life, in these last moments that they may have together. And we pray, Lord, protection on Tim as he travels, or you'll provide somewhere for him to stay. Lord, be his provider tonight. Be his comfort tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah. Wow. Participating. This is really good. Everyone's participating. Yes, Glennie.
I'll just keep it brief. I'm just really thankful, first of all, for connection, my connection to the Lord, who's always there, always listening, and surprising me by working things out way beyond my imagination. And thankful for this body of Christ being connected to you guys as well. What I've gone through in the last few years, losing my step-granddaughter in an accident, and walking with me during that time. And then the several moves that I had to make from one home to another home to another home. I lived in six different places in 2023. And then landed in another place in 2023. And then I had to move twice this year. My car accident that I had, my serious car accident, as you know. Thank you for praying. The Lord healed me from brain bleed, multiple breaks in my body, bones, that is. And been able to be back to work. So thank you all for your prayers. God is a God of miracles, and I'm alive and well because of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's good, Glennie. Testify. That's good. Amen. That is good. Thank you for participating. You reading the word or sharing a testimony, sharing a nugget. That's good. It's 12. I think... we can get on the road before the snow gets worse.